This morning's reading is taken from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 23. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I've not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them all that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are we? Good, good. Who had chocolate for breakfast? Did you? Just chocolate for breakfast? Really? Did you have just chocolate for breakfast as well? Do you feel sick now? Well, that's good anyway. It's a brilliant day, isn't it? Chocolate aside, what are we celebrating today? Yes.
The resurrection of Jesus.
The resurrection of Jesus. Now, how do you know that Jesus is alive? How do you know that? What do you think? Yes, sir.
Because of the Bible.
Because it says it in the Bible. Good answer. And the Bible is the word of God. Anybody else? Any other ideas? How do we know Jesus is alive? If I asked them in my old church, how do you know Jesus is alive? Do you know what they'd say? They'd say, "You asked me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." They would, they'd say that. They'd honestly say that. They would. They'd say it. But it's not quite enough, is it, just to say, "He lives in my heart"? It's because it's in the Bible. You could think about the transformation of the disciples. Remember how scared they were? And then Jesus rose again, and they were transformed, and they became brave. You could think about the birth of the church, how thousands and thousands of people became Christians because Jesus was alive.
You could think about the fact that all the Jews had to do was produce the body to stop all this, and they couldn't do it. You could think about the guard set around Jesus' tomb and lots of other things. So today, we're dealing with the best news in the world. Jesus is alive, and that means sin and death and hell are defeated, and we can go to heaven. Isn't that good? We can live forever. Now, we're going to look at this story that Chris just read to us. It was early in the morning on the first day of the week. It was Sunday. While it was still dark, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. So I need someone now to come and be Mary. Who's going to come be? Yes, come on then. Henny. It is Henny, isn't it? It's Holly. It's Holly. Hello, Holly. You're going to be Mary, okay? Thank you for helping me. Now, what does Mary see when she gets to the tomb? Anybody notice? Yes, Ellie. The tomb was open. The stone was rolled away from the entrance. That's right. So what does she do next? Anybody remember? She did. She goes running to Simon, Peter, and John. Now then, Holly, are you good at running? Oh. Oh, dear. Well, can you try for me? Can you try and do a bit of running? No. Oh, dear. Can someone be Mary's runner for me? Yes, Bethany. Bethany's going to come. Come on, then. Now then, Bethany. What I want you to do, come with me, come with me. I want you to run, okay? Up this aisle, up to the back, along the back, okay? Back down the far aisle, as fast as you can, okay? And I want lots of cheering and lots of encouragement, okay, from the crowd, okay? So on your marks, get set, go! Run, 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 run. On the back, that's right. Run, run, run. Run, run, run. Good running. Straight down here. Down there. Back down there. Back down there. Yay! Very good running. Mary's runner. Thank you very much. You can stand there as well if you like. Do you want to be at the front as well? There. Always good to be in the limelight, isn't it? So Mary Magdalene ran to Simon, Peter, and John. John is the disciple Jesus loved. Now listen to what she says. Can you read this for me? Do you think you can read that for me? No, can you read that? No, probably not. This is what she says. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. And we don't know where they have put him. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. And we don't know where they have put him. How do you think Mary feels? How do you think she feels, Mimi? Sad. They've taken her Lord. They've taken Jesus. She doesn't know where he is. Well, what do Peter and John do when they hear this news?
They run.
They do as well. That's right. They run to the tomb. So, I need two boys now to have a race. Yes, Caleb. And James, come and stand here. This is going to be a real race this time. Okay, same as before. Lots of cheering, please. On your marks, get set, go! Oh dear. Are you all right, Caleb? Are you all right? Well done. That was brilliant running. That really was fantastic. Both were running, but the other disciple, John, outran Peter and reached the first. So John gets there first. He bends over and looks at the strips of linen, but did not go in. Jesus was wrapped in strips of linen. And now, Jesus is gone, but the linen is still there. Then Peter arrives, and he rushes right into the tomb. Typical Peter. He sees the strips of linen and the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. This cloth is folded up by itself, separate from the linen. These little details give the story the ring of truth. This wasn't made up. Finally, John goes in and he sees and he believes. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? What do you think? He believes. What do you think? To trust in Jesus. That's a very good word, isn't it? To trust in Jesus. See, what do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about him? Have a think. What do you believe about Jesus? Anything at all? Yes, Caleb. You believe. I believe he is real. What do you believe about Jesus? You believe he's the King. And you also believe in the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's very good. So we believe he existed. We believe he's alive today. We believe he died for us. At this point, it says, they still did not understand from the Bible that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Well, in the next part of the story, Jesus appears to Mary. I need someone now to come and be Jesus. Who's going to come? Yes, come on. Are you John or Sam? Which one is it?
No, Sam. John's not here.
Oh, John's not here. Hello, Sam. Okay, you come and stand by me. The other disciples go home, but Mary stands outside the tomb crying. Can you cry, Bethany? No. Can you cry, Bethany? Can't cry. You can you go, can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. Okay, never mind. Well, Mary stands outside the tomb crying. And as she weeps, she bends over to look into the tomb. Can you look into the tomb? Shall we look in together? Can you look inside? Can you see anything? Well, do you know what she sees? Anybody remember what she sees? Yes, Elizabeth. She sees angels. So I need two angels. Now, who's an angel here? Nobody. Come on then. The name, please. Come on up. Rosie, I mean, that's right. You're not going to come. Change your mind. Okay. Right, Miriam can be an angel and Katie can be an angel. Do you want to sit on the floor there? There we are. They don't have to be girls. I should say angels are normally boys in the Bible. But here are our two angels and they're sitting where Jesus is being. One at the head and the other at the foot. And they ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And Mary says, "They have taken my Lord away. And I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. And then Jesus speaks to her, and he says, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Now, who does Mary think Jesus is? Do you remember? Levi, do you know? She thinks he's the gardener. It's a funny thought, isn't it? She thinks he's the gardener. "Sir," she says, "if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, what did he say?
Mary.
He said, "Mary," that's right, Mary. How does Mary feel now? She was sad at the beginning. How does she feel now? Yes, Caleb. Happy, very, very happy. She turns towards him and cries out, what does she say? Rabboni, that's right, which means teacher. And Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. to my God and your God. Well, Mary is thrilled, and she goes back to the disciples and she says, I have seen the Lord. Do you know what? Mary is a model for us here. She's got good news about Jesus. And what does she do with her good news? What does she do with it? Yes, Levi. She gives it to others. That's right. She tells others about him. Boys and girls, mums and dads, everyone else, we've got amazing news. Jesus is alive. Death and hell and sin are defeated. We can be forgiven. We can go to heaven. And we must tell everyone we can about this. So, this is an amazing story, isn't it? Jesus has appeared to Mary. Now, where does Jesus go next in the story? Who does he go and see next? Yes, Katie. The disciples. On that Sunday evening, the disciples are all together. Now, they don't know Jesus is alive yet. How do you think they feel? Go on, then. Maybe. They're very sad. Anything else, Holly? They're frightened. Do you know, they locked themselves in for fear of the Jews. And guess who comes and stands among them? Yeah, you got it. Go on, then. Jesus. Come on, then, Jesus. Come and stand back up here. Here's Jesus. Do you remember what he said to them, Sam? You normally know. He said, do you want to read that?
Peace be with you.
He did, that's it. Peace be with you. That's lovely, isn't it? Peace be with you. And that's what Jesus says to us, if we've been forgiven. If we've really said sorry for our sins, and God has given us forgiveness, now we have peace. Peace with God. Peace to face life. Perhaps I can ask the grown-ups, do you have peace? If not, there's something wrong. The Christian should have peace. And we need to do some work if you haven't got peace. Well, verse 20, Jesus shows them his hands and his side. Show us your hands. Can you show us your side? Yeah. Why does Jesus do this? Why does he show his hands and his side? Yes, Miriam. He's showing the nail marks and where the spear went in. Why is he doing that? To show that it's really him. That's right. Now, how do the disciples feel when they realize it's Jesus? How do they feel? Caleb, they are surprised. That's a good answer. Very good on. Anything else? How would you feel? Go on then. What's your name? Thank you, Joseph. Go on, you want to say? Desperately surprised and desperately pleased, I should imagine. I want you to do now, in a minute, the loudest cheer that you possibly can. Right? Can you do that? When I say, Jesus is alive, right? I want you to shout, hallelujah! Can you do that? You're looking a bit worried. Can you try that? And all the grown-ups as well, okay? So that's how the disciples felt. When I say Jesus is alive, okay? Jesus is alive!
Hallelujah!
That's it. That's it. That's how the disciples felt. That's it. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. Jesus says it twice. It's important. Then he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. That's really important. Why are we Christians? Why are we Christians? What do you say to that question? Why are we Christians? What do you think, Levi? Okay, to go to church, that's part of it. That is part of it. Yes, Caleb. Believing in Jesus, that's important. Yes, Joseph.
Because we love the Bible.
It's a good... Yes, Ellie? Because it's good to believe, yeah. That's right. The good answers. But here's another answer. We are Christians because as the Father sent Jesus into the world, so now he sends us into the world. To live for him, to please him, to obey him, to serve him, to tell others about him. That's why we're Christians, so that the Heavenly Father can send us into the world. So he sends you into your school to be a Christian for him. He sends you into your workplace to live for him. But he doesn't send us on our own. Verse 22. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." What's the Holy Spirit's job? Any ideas? Yes, Joseph.
To give us the Holy Spirit.
Yes. And what's his job? What's his job? Anybody know? Yes, Elizabeth. To help us. It's a very good answer, isn't it? God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us to live for Jesus. The Holy Spirit is God. He's God himself. He's the Spirit of Jesus living in us to make us like Jesus and to give us power to live for him day by day. And then finally Jesus says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Jesus' disciples are given an amazing message, which they wrote down. Where did they write it down? In the Bible, that's right. And if we obey this message, their message, we can be forgiven. It's good news, isn't it? Now, who's ever done anything wrong? Anybody? Anybody ever done anything wrong? Any grown-ups ever done anything wrong? Yeah, me too. I've done things wrong. I wonder, don't tell, put your hands down now, don't tell me. But I wonder if anyone has ever been unkind or lied or stolen anything or done anything they shouldn't do. We've all done things wrong. We all need to be forgiven. And that's why Jesus died and rose again. Jesus took the punishment for our sins so that we can be forgiven. And then he rose from the dead to show that it's all true. So, boys and girls, grown-ups, are these things true for you? If not, talk to Jesus today. Ask him to forgive your sins. Ask him to be your king. Ask him to save you from hell so that you can go to heaven when you die. And then you will have a new purpose to live your life, to serve King Jesus. To live for him, to tell others about him. Well, thank you very much for this. Thank you, Sam. Thank you for all your help. You listened very well.